I'm one of the elders in this church, and it's such a blessing to come before you this morning. And we are starting a new series. So if you've been around, we've been going through the book of Revelation, okay? And we just finished our first part. So we are starting a new series, and it's a four-part series that we're starting today. And I am the first to kind of lead us into what God will have for us for the next few weeks. And we're looking at the people of faith in scriptures. And you may ask yourself, why is it important to look at characters in the Bible? And oftentimes we think, oh, well, those characters are quite easy. I mean, you've learned about David, about Joseph, about different characters in the Bible. But as a church, it's very important that we spend time to look at these characters and really glean from their lives and learn vital lessons that can help us in our lives. So I just want to do like a bit of a preamble to why we study these characters. If you look at Romans 15:4, the Bible says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us." So everything in Scripture was written for a reason, to teach us why. That through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Then there are two things involved in that scripture: the endurance and the encouragement. So as we go through this character, you will see their endurance, you will see their encouragement. And when we look at the scriptures, we should have hope. We should have hope. And one of the most classic chapters in the Bible, Hebrews 11, you know, we call it the all of faith. You see different people in that place. And if you look at Hebrews 11, says verse 38 and 13, say, "What more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon, about Barak, about Samson, about Jephthah, about David, about Samuel and the prophet. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised." So we go through Hebrews 11, we see different characters there. And we ask ourselves, what is so special about these people? Now, this is the reason. In verse 40, the Bible says, God had planned something better for us. That without these guys, we cannot be made perfect. So when we look at the lives of this patriarch, we learn from them. And it informs our lives. And why is that important? If you look at Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, "Now we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." So David, Joseph, Daniel. These guys are witnesses. If you go to the next slide. These guys are witnesses. The Bible calls them the cloud of witnesses. So we are surrounded. So guys, I will stand before you this morning. You're not alone in this place. There's a cloud of witness looking at us this morning. You got David, you got Daniel, you got Joseph, you got Abraham. We are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. He said, "Let us therefore throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so entangles us." Now we are surrounded with these guys. They are around us. But the Bible now makes something very, very important. Though we are surrounded by their lives, there's a place we have to focus, looking unto Jesus. We are surrounded by these guys. Their endurance, their encouragement should help us to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the Bible then talks about the joy that was set before him. That these guys encouraged Jesus. And when Jesus looked at them, he said, "My goodness, David said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." When Jesus looked at Daniel, at Joseph, he said, "No, there's a joy that is set before me. I am going to endure the cross." Romans 15, the endurance and their encouragement. So when Jesus reads scriptures and look at the endurances and the encouragement of these guys, the joy that was set before him, He endured the cross and he despised the shame because the patience of scriptures helps him to realize that Daniel went through a lot. Abraham got to a point where he wanted to sacrifice his son, and God could not spare his son because God saw what Abraham did. Abraham could not spare his son. Why would I spare my son? And he sent his only begotten son into the world. So the next 4 weeks will be awesome because you'll be looking at characters, their encouragement, their endurances. And I bet you need to invite people because this will be such a great classic for you to learn from. And today I have the privilege to talk about one of the, for me, it is such a legend, you know, David. Maybe that's the reason why I had to call my son David as well, because my son is David. So I just could not, like, this guy is just awesome. So I had to just name my son David as well. So we're going to look at David this morning. What a character. This guy is enigmatic as well. I mean, as we go through the next 2 hours, 25 minutes, you will learn a lot. I've got like 6 pages there. I'm like, how do I get through this? God help me. Because David is such a character that when you look at David, like, there's so much to talk about. Is it David and Goliath? Is it David when he was running away from Saul? Different aspect of David. But I would do well to just talk to you this morning about four parts. Okay, about four parts about David's life. Shall we just pray very quickly and then I'll just carry on? Lord, what a joy to just bring your word to your people this morning. I just pray, Lord, as we look more into the life of this man called David. The man after 3,000 years in Israel, he's still celebrated today. What a legend. What a man. And we can see his frailties, his weaknesses. Lord, as we go through this, help us, Lord, to learn from him this morning and to use his life as a template for how we can improve in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go into the four-part series, you know, oftentimes when people talk about, you know, speaking to yourself, David, it was a man who had a lot of opportunity to speak to himself. I'm sure people would have thought David was mad at different times. I mean, if you go to the book of Psalm, you hear David talk about his soul. Awake, oh my soul. I'm like, what's going on? He was such a man who encountered God in different levels. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Make me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What does it mean? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not sit in the seat of sinners, whose delight is in the Lord. Psalm 63, O Lord, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul longs for you. These are the Psalms of David. And have you asked yourself, when were these Psalms written? And you will realize that those Psalms were written when David was going through a lot in his life. So, we're going to look at four parts to this. David and Goliath, the man David, David's inquiries, and God can. Now, the classic story in the Bible, David and Goliath. Now, the context of the story was, if you read 1 Samuel very well, Israel had asked for a king, and the Lord has given them a king by the name of Saul. And Saul was there to lead them. Okay, if you look at 1 Samuel 8:20, the Bible says that the king they thought was needed was now able. So Saul was choosing for this to lead Israel into the war. Now Saul was chosen to lead Israel into the war. And the first war that Saul was supposed to lead them into, the Bible says that there was a man called Goliath that stood before them. And said, hey, you guys, I'm here. Pick a man to fight me. And Saul was to lead them into the war. And the person that should stand up was Saul. But Saul couldn't stand. And for 40 days, the Bible says that Goliath defiled Israel. And then a certain boy by the name David went there. And then something began to happen. And we see in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible said, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And so said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now we could see a young man that all he's ever done was to just fight the lions and the bear. I mean, have you ever had to say, how was it possible for David to fight the lions and the bears and then to stand before a mighty man called Goliath? And God used David to defeat Goliath. Now, that is such a classic story in scripture, isn't it? Because we know that just with five stones that David picked up, he slung one and then Goliath was slain and God brought victory to Israel on that day. That is such an amazing story. Now, just as Goliath killed David, we see Jesus as well. We see our Lord and Savior. When he came to the world, the Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When Jesus came, he came to die for our sins. There was a Goliath called sin that stood before us and God every day. But when Jesus came, the Bible said the temple curtain was torn into two. And we have access to the Father. And guess what? Something about David as well. When they saw David, he was ridiculed. He was looked down upon. I mean, who is this commoner? A mere boy, a shepherd boy. How could God use a shepherd boy to deliver Israel? I mean, he has never been to battle. He has never been to war. And yet God used a simple boy. And this morning, I want to encourage everyone that God is not looking for big people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Sometimes God uses, you know, simple men and women like us for his glory. Sometimes when I stand before people, I'm like, there's nothing special about me. But it's the fact that I receive grace and mercy from God. And we see that in the life of Jesus as well. If you look at Isaiah 53 verse 2, the Bible says that he had no comeliness. He had no beauty about him. When they saw Jesus, do you know what they asked him? Is this not the carpenter's son? I mean, can you imagine? That was not a good way of introducing somebody. Can you imagine going to somewhere and they say, I'm the savior of the world. I'm like, is this not the carpenter's son? I mean, he was ridiculed big time. But the carpenter's son became the savior of the world. And anytime God does this, he does it to take the glory. Because he wants to take the glory all the time. And so in the life of David and Goliath, we could see that God used David, somebody that had never been to war, and God used him mightily for his glory. Goliath did not stand a chance before Christ. He stood a chance before Saul. But when David came before him, he said, you come to me with sword and spears. But you know what, David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven. He said, today, I will cut off your head. What a character. When you face challenges, how do you face it? Do you, in whose name do you go to battle? David never went to battle in his name. He said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven. And so today I want to encourage you, when you're faced with life challenges, all you ought to say is, I come against you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven. I do not trust in sword. I do not trust in anything, but I trust in the name of the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 5, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. He said, lean not on your own understanding. See, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That is what God does for us when we acknowledge God in all the ways. Now, the second point I just want to bring very quickly is the man David himself. The man David. I just want to pick a few things about the life of David that for me instruct me very kindly and has helped me in my life. And the three things I want to quickly say about David. David was a man that trusted in God. Now, Samuel anointed David, but do you know it took him about 13, 14 years to become the king of Israel? From the time that David was anointed by Samuel, and then he killed Goliath, and then from there, you think, can you imagine that David was anointed? He said, he will be king. And he would have thought it would be a plain sailing, isn't it? I'm king. Hallelujah. And do you know what? He was anointed. That was the beginning of his trouble. After he killed Goliath, he became a wanderer. He was running every time. He would have asked himself, is it really true that God anointed me? Am I really certain that actually God anointed me? Because all these challenges in my life does not really kind of correlate with what God is saying about my life. The Bible says he ran. There were times that he was caught, almost caught by Saul, and he kept running. In fact, there was a time the Bible says he went into a cave, into a cave called Hadulam, and he was literally running away from Saul. And here was a man that was anointed to be king. But he had to wait for 13, 14 years for that to be accomplished. Have you had a prophetic word in your life, for example, that God has said you'll be this, or somebody said this about my life, and you feel like, how would this ever come to pass? David waited. David waited. Waiting is not a problem. Isaiah 40 says, those that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings. If you read that scripture very well, the first thing they will do is that they mount. They don't run. They don't walk. That's the first thing they mount. Because when God blesses a man, and when you wait for God's timing, God is never late. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Sometimes I look like, I'm just waiting. Wait. Now, do you know the challenge, the difference between David and Saul was waiting. I haven't got time to show you, but there was a time that Samuel asked Saul to wait. And the Bible says that Samuel was not coming on time. And Saul decided to what? To sacrifice before the Lord. And Samuel came, you stupid! Wait! And that was it. And that waiting, the lack of it, that was why one of the reasons why Saul lost the kingdom. Waiting is a problem in our generation today. Nobody wants to wait. You know, I can get 2 minute pot noodles in the microwave. Boom. Done. It takes time to cook. You need to ask my wife. Bless her. The patience in the kitchen. I know God has not given that to me. I don't know how she does it. My Lord. But good food takes time. Sometimes things in life takes time. But we are very quick. We're very quick. Let's get it. We're very quick. I just want to encourage someone today. Waiting is not bad. It's not bad to wait. It's okay. You'll be fine. David was a man of humility as well. Can you imagine when he killed Goliath? Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000. I mean, they were healing him. No. You say, I'm not having it. That's not me. It was a man of humility. How did he show that? When the ark was being brought back to Jerusalem, the Bible said that he was so excited. And I'm not going to show you, I'm not going to demonstrate whatever, but he would have probably taken off his clothes and just jumping up. Because Michael, his wife, saw him and despised him. Say, what a man, you are the king, come on. Hello, my name is Dial. Okay, this morning, I'm going to live a dignified life. I'm just going to behave myself, okay. I need to get my Queen's English very well. I mean, can you imagine David on that day? He must have like, I don't care. He saved me. And they were dancing and shouting, and David just was in reckless abandon to the point that the only person in scriptures that was declared barren was the wife of David. The Bible said God shut her womb. She never had a baby because she despised a man that was praising God. Friends, when people in this church, I want to just sometimes just take my shoes and just, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like, oh my God, oh, not again. He's praising his God. This is the best place to be yourself. Amen. Be yourself. Amen. I'm not here. Can wait 3? No. Yeah, it's fine. People have their own preferences. And I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that if you stand, then you're no. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that people, just be yourself. Whatever way you want to worship God, if you want to stand there, just put your hands like that. That's fine. If you want to stand there just like this, that's fine. Whatever you're most comfortable with. If you want to kneel down, kneel down. You're in the presence of your Father. Do you know what David said in Psalm 16? He said, in your presence is fullness. Psalm 16 is one of the psalms I love so much. And I think I'll just read it. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. I keep my eyes always on the Lord with aim at my right hand. I will not be shaken. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. How do you experience joy? How do you show joy? Exuberance. It's fine. So, let's be encouraged this morning. It's fine to be whoever you want to be in God's presence. David shows us that you can be that. He was so happy when the ark was brought back. And that is something for us this morning. So it was a man of humility. He trusted in God. It was a man that loved the presence of God. Friends, when was the last time you put on a worship song? Is it just on a Sunday morning? When was the last time you just spent time? You say, you know what? It's not about just reading the script. I just want to just stay 20 minutes. I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. You can see my voice is terrible. That's why I'm not in the choir. But who cares? I'm in the presence of my Father. He hasn't come to judge my voice. He wants to hear my voice. In his presence, fullness of joy. If you can't sing, write. Psalms are written. Some of us are very good at writing. Why not pick a pen? In God's presence, write. String something together. Why not? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, you string things in His presence. You write things down. They are your secret things that you treasure. And they're very important. Thirdly, David inquiries. I'm going to spend a bit more time here. And that links to the last one, so it should be done in very quick. Now, David was a man that loved the presence of the Lord. But also, David was a man of prayer. Do you know that anytime David was about to take a step, David sought the face of the Lord? Now, I've just put about three, you know, there. But there were nine times in scriptures that David sought the Lord. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 1 to 3, that was David inquired, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said, go. Second one, 1 Samuel 23, verse 4 to 5. The Lord said, arise, go down to Keilah. I will deliver the Philistine into your hand. The third inquiry, the same 1 Samuel 23, 10 to 11. He said, the Lord said, he will come down. Once more, David cast all his cares on him. The fourth inquiry, in the same chapter, 12 to 14. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me? Now, this is very interesting. If you look at verse 2, the second inquiry, God said to him, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Then David must have thought, I have got a good relationship with these guys now. We are buddies, aren't we? I've helped them. Well, David did not presume. Every time he asked, the fourth time, he said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David departed from Keilah. And then the fifth one, in 1 Samuel 30, is on the screen, so 8 to 9. This was when David went somewhere with his mighty men. And then there was a war. They've ravaged the whole camp. And David inquired, shall I pursue this troop? And the Lord said, pursue, overtake, and destroy. And if we look at 2 Samuel 2, he asked again, shall I go? 2 Samuel 5, the same, shall I go? 2 Samuel 5, 22 to 29, he asked again, Lord, shall I go? And he asked, and the Lord said to him, that you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees, and it shall be, so this is 2 Samuel 5, 22 to 25, it's not on the screen, and it shall be when you hear the sound, then you shall advance quickly. David was a man that sought the face of the Lord all the time. Friends, don't seek God for the big decisions in your life. Seek God for all the decisions in your life. No matter small or big. You don't have to wait till you want to get a job or you want to do something important in your life. You say, Lord, what shall I do? No. Seek God for all the decisions in your life. That was what David did. He sought God for all the decisions in his life. However, he never did that all the time. And there were instances in scriptures where David, I mean, you would have thought, I've showed you 9 instances that David sought the Lord. And you would think David by now, by default, because he's done it several times, that David should know what to do. But guess what? There were a few times it did not do that. And I will just show you very quickly. In 2 Samuel 11, the The Bible says that there was a time that kings should go to war. But David stayed back. And when he stayed back, there was a woman called Bathsheba. And David should be in war, but David was not. And then that led to a sin in David's life. And the consequences of that sin was remarkable and telling. Because Uriah, who was Bathsheba's husband, died in battle. The son that was to be born died. As if that was not enough. If you go to 2 Samuel 11, that was when that happened. Now, if we fast forward to 2 Samuel 13, all of a sudden, there was a civil war in the family of David. Amnon liked his sister and slept with her. And the sister, Tamar, was Absalom's sister. And for 2 years, Absalom kept this hatred in his heart. And eventually, Absalom killed Amnon. Eventually, Absalom conspired against David. And David left the throne, and Absalom became the king. And eventually, Absalom was killed in battle. And the starting process was when David should be somewhere, and he wasn't there. He should have asked, Lord, shall I stay in this place? Or shall I go to war? But David felt like, well, I know the Lord so much now. Why do I need to ask him again? I've asked him 9 times. I know what he's going to tell me. I'm going to stay. Guys, we cannot presume you know all of God's ways. How often do you say, God, shall I go? What do you want me to do in this situation? When was the last time you asked that question? Do you just ask that question when you want to take a major decision in your life? As simple as, God, which holiday are we going to go? Where would you like us to go this season? Lord, what do you want me to do? David was a man that sought, but when he did not seek the Lord, we could see what happened there. And then in 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles, I believe 21, the Bible says that Satan moved David for the very first time. A character was introduced in the life of David, and his name is Satan. All along, David inquired of the Lord. And all of a sudden, Satan moved David. And as Satan moved David, something happened. You know, in 1 Chronicles 21, the Bible said that Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. And so David said to Joab and the commanders of the troop, go, count the Israelites. I mean, there was no reason for David to do this. He went to count the people. Even Joab rebuked him and said, my Lord, why are you doing this? But David never listened. And then if you check to Samuel 1 Chronicles 21, verse 8, David then realized that what he had done was a sin. And a prophet came to meet David and gave David 3 choices. And he said, 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, days of plague in the land. And David chose the 3 days of plague in the land. That should not have happened. You know, 70,000 people lost their lives. So that was me. 70,000 people lost their lives because of that single encounter. But guess what? It was painful. But Romans 8 says that God sometimes makes all things to work together for our good. So You may have made mistakes in your life, but God can change things around. He's able to turn things around. He's able to make all things to work together for our good. And in the two stories I shared with you guys, David eventually married Bathsheba. The son died. But after David, who was the next king of Israel? Solomon. Who was the mother of Solomon? Bathsheba. The same Bathsheba whose son died. God was able to bring a beautiful story out of it. When Satan moved David to number the people, and 3 days the angel was going around slaying 70,000 people, the angel stopped in a place called the threshing floor of Arana, the Jebusite. And guess where the temple was built? The same place where the angel stopped, that 70,000 people had been killed. Friends, look, no matter your past, no matter what you've done, there are consequences for your action, but God is able to bring beauty out of ashes. Those two stories could have ended in dire circumstances, but God brought beauty in those two stories. So I want to urge you this morning, no matter where you are, you can start today. You can say, God, this is my life. Bring beauty out of this. In 2 Chronicles 3, to just show that, if you go to the next slide, yeah. And I'll just end with this. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Arana the Jebusite, the place provided by David. And I feel God will say to someone from here, from where you are, I can glorify my name, bring beauty for ashes. Is there anyone in this place that wants to say, Lord, make me a man after your heart, a man of prayer? Help me to seek you more. That you say, Lord, earnestly will I seek you. Do you know when David wrote that song? He was in the desert. He should be looking for water. He said, no, I don't need water. Lord, earnestly will I seek you. My soul longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. To see your power and your glory. Lord, help me with the decisions in my life. Turn my mistakes into miracles. Bring something out for your glory. I'll just invite the band. We're going to end with Psalm 23. It's a beautiful rendition. And I just want to sing that song as we close this morning. And I really want to invite people forward this morning. Whichever way you've been impacted by this message this morning, I would love people to respond. If you want to say, God, from here now, here is my life, Lord. Make something great out of the mistakes I've made. Oh, Bathsheba was a mistake. The censor was a mistake. But God is able to turn things around. So I want to encourage you, if you feel like, Lord, take my life and let it be for your glory. If you want to say, Lord, I'm not a man after your heart. Lord, make me a man after your heart. I want to seek you more and more. A man of prayer, just like David. I really urge you to come forward and we can pray together.